Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vishnu Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhagavatam Canto 5 Chapter 4 Verse 6 Yasya
Yasya
Pandaveya
Loka
Udahati Go Pachatam Agad Yasya Hari Sudhena Karmana Yasya Pandaveya Sloka Udaharanti Ko Nutat Karma Raja Naber Anva Charet Puman Apatyatam agad yasya
Hari
sudena karmana
Yes,
Avom. Indeed.
Pandaveya.
Maharaj Parikshit.
Sloka.
Two verses.
Udaharanti.
Recite.
Ka.
Ku.
Nu.
Then.
Tat.
That.
Karma.
Work.
Rajarshe,
of the pious king,
Nabe,
Nabi,
Anu,
following,
Achare,
could execute,
Kuman,
Iman,
Apachatam,
sonhood,
Agat,
accepted,
Yasya,
whose,
Hari,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sudena,
pure,
executed in devotional service,
karmana,
by activities.
Translation of Maharaj Parikshit, to glorify Maharaj Nabi, the old sages, composed two verses. One of them is this: who can attain perfection of Maharaj Nabi? Who can attain his activities? Because of a devotional service, the Supreme Personality of God has agreed to become his son. Part of the word Sudena Karmana in this verse: if work is not carried out in devotional service, is contaminated by the most material nature. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yogi Artar Kamanon Yatar Lopayam Karma Bandana. Activities performed only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord are pure and are not contaminated by the most material nature. All other activities are contaminated by the most of ignorance and passion as well as goodness. All material activities meant for satisfying the senses are contaminated. Maharaj Nabi did not perform anything contaminated. He simply executed his transcendental activities, even when performing yajna, consequently obtained the Supreme Lord as his son. Next, seven, the second prayer is this: who is a better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas, to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi the Supreme Personality of Narayan in person. Wherefore, the Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacral ceremony were not ordinary Brahmanas. They were so powerful they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of God by their prayers. Thus, Maharaj Nabi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invocation unless one is a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is said in Padma Purana, Shadkarma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada, a Vaishnava Guru Nasyad, a Vaishnava Satacho Guru, a scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subject matters of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in the family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These Brahmanas are certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals and over and above that. This, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of God and enable their disciple, Maharaj Nabi, to see the Lord face to face. The Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word Ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Text 8. After Nabi Maharaj departed for Bhadrakasha, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva understood that his kingdom was his field of activity. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duties of a householder by first accepting Brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukul. After his education was finished, he gave gifts to the spiritual masters and then accepted the life of a householder. And took a wife named Jayanti and begot 100 sons who were so powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhadeva and Jayanti performed household life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by the Shruti and Smriti Shastra. Wherefore, being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, Rishabhadeva had nothing to do with material affairs. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Parichranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadiskritam, the purpose of an incarnation is to liberate his devotees and to stop the demonic activities of non-devotees. These are the two functions of the Supreme Lord when he incarnates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that in order to preach, one must live a practical life and show people how to do things. Apni Achari Bhakti Sikhaimu Shavari. One cannot teach others unless he behaves the same way himself. Rishabhadeva was an ideal king, and he took his education in Gurukul, although he was already educated
because the Supreme Lord is omniscient. Although Rishabhadeva has nothing to learn from Guru Kul, he went there just to teach the people in general how to take an education from the right source, from Vedic teachers, and then enter the household life and live according to the principles of Vedic knowledge, Shruti and Smriti. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes the Skanda Purana. Quoting the Skanda Purana states, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Hidim Vina Pikantiki Harer Bhaktir Upatayaiva Kapute. Human society must follow the instructions of Shri from Shruti and Smriti in Vedic literature. Practically applied in life, this is worship of the Supreme Personality of God according to the Pancharatra Vidhi. Every human being must advance in spiritual life and at the end return home back to Godhead. Maharaj Rishabhadev strictly followed all these principles. He remained an ideal grihastha and taught his sons how to become perfect in spiritual life. These are some examples of how he ruled the earth and completed his mission as an incarnation. Translation of Maharaj Pariksit to glorify Maharaj Navi, the old sages from those two verses, one of them is this: who can attain the perfection of Maharaj Navi? Who can attain his activities? Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of God had agreed to become his son. Who is a better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaj Navi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to the full satisfaction of Brahmanas by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Navi the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in person. After Navi Maharaj departed for Bhadrakashram, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva understood that his kingdom was his field of activities. He therefore showed himself an example and taught the duties of a householder. At first accepting Brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters, he also went to live at spiritual master's place, Gurukul. After his education was finished, he gave gifts to his spiritual masters and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begot 100 sons who were so powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhadeva and Jayanti performed household life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordered by this Shruti and Smriti Shastras. So, here are two verses glorify Navi. And from this we understand, one, that he was a devotee, and therefore, by his activities, the Lord became his son. And two, the Brahmanas, who performed the sacrifice in which the Lord appeared, were also great devotees of the Lord, because without being devotees, how would the Lord actually make his appearance? So the Brahmanas were worshipped and served by Navi very nicely, but they were also Vaishnavas, and therefore the Lord made his appearance. So Navi was a Vaishnava, and the Brahmanas were also Vaishnavas, and therefore the Lord appeared, and the Lord also became the son of King Navi. So the next verse after that describes how Rishabhadev took over the kingdom after his father departed. So he got educated properly, went to the Gurukul, graduated from the Gurukul, and then he got married. Then he had 100 sons, and he performed his duties properly as a king and as a householder according to the scriptures. So he acted like an ordinary king. These are the duties of a king, these are the duties of a householder. So because that was his role he was playing, he did this in a very ideal way. So he could not be faulted. At the same time, because he's the Supreme Lord, there's no question of him having to get educated in the Gurukul, to learn the scriptures, to follow the scriptures of Shruti and Smriti as a householder, etc. Because he is Supreme Lord. So he's actually beyond all the duties of Varna, Ashrama, etc. Yet, because of the pastime he is playing as a king, he goes through the activities as if he were an ordinary person. We see, of course, even Krishna does this. Krishna goes to the Gurukul, and stays there doing austerities and learning scriptures, serving the Guru, and then he comes back later on. So he also acted like a normal person, dutifully. He was to be a king, so therefore he acted in this way. it's also the Supreme Lord. So, in order to teach people, our public, what the duties are, the Lord acts in this way. Though, because He is Sarvajna, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, He doesn't have to get educated. Because He's the source of Dharma, He does not have to look in the scriptures and follow the scriptural rules for Dharma. He is the one that creates all of the different rules and regulations. So it's not necessary for him to study or learn or anything like this. So, nevertheless, playing the role of a ideal king, he does this. And this, of course, shows his determination to set a very good example for people in general. So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if the leader doesn't follow, the people won't follow. If an ideal person does something, people will follow him. So therefore, he set a very good example by acting in this way. Of course, we will see that all the great kings did this, even Priyavrata and others. They follow very carefully the rules laid out in the scriptures for student life and for household life and for ruling the kingdom. They were not incarnations, but they nevertheless followed the same rules. Here, incarnation of the Lord Himself follows these rules in order to teach the people in general. Of course, beyond this, we understand that the Lord wants to teach something else also. The Lord has many things to teach, and that we will see in the later part of His life where He renounces everything. So in a particular incarnation of the Lord, He will teach different things. So here He is teaching about following the proper roles as in Varnashrama, and then renouncing and doing extreme austerities. That's what He will teach later on. In the case of Krishna, of course, He also teaches this. He follows Varnashrama, etc., and follows all those rules, etc. We will see that some of the incarnations will teach different things. Here, Rishabhadev will teach extreme renunciation finally. We don't see Krishna teaching that. On the other hand, He is teaching mainly devotion. Even though He mentions Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, He concentrates on bhakti. And we'll see other incarnations also will emphasize different things. So Kapila Dev, he also explains Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, but again, he emphasizes Bhakti Yoga. Rishabhadev, he also to some extent showed austerity because he was all by himself performing austerities in the forest, meditating, etc. So he was not involving himself in household life. Like other incarnations do. So, he teaches bhakti prominently. Others may teach prominently jnana, like Dattatreya will teach jnana prominently. So, according to the incarnation, they may teach different things. This does not mean that they are ignorant. Why doesn't Vrishabhadev just teach bhakti? Why does he show this extreme renunciation, etc.? So he's not ignorant, and we'll see in the teachings that he gives, he actually does explain bhakti, that one has to take mercy of devotees to actually advance spiritually. He makes statements like that. Though we see from his later life, he is giving an example of more extreme renunciation than anything else. This was the purpose of this particular incarnation. And similarly, Dattatreya teaches Ajatma Jnana. That's his purpose. Different incarnations come and they will teach different things according to the will of the Supreme Lord. When He wants, He will teach jnana. When He wants, He will teach yoga. When He wants, He will teach bhakti or karma, whatever. So it is up to the Supreme Lord what He chooses to teach. Nevertheless, He's complete. So He has all knowledge. Rishabhadev is not ignorant of bhakti, but he ultimately shows renunciation. or similarly Dattatreya or anyone else. They're not ignorant of bhakti, but their purpose is to teach a certain section of knowledge only. So that's what they do. Krishna, of course, teaches everything, as Kapila also does. He also teaches everything. And at the same time, they show that these things are all processes mentioned in the scripture, but at the same time, they emphasize the process of bhakti above everything else. So taking into consideration all of the different avatars and all the teachings, etc., then again, we have to come to the conclusion that bhakti is the ultimate recommended process. And we'll see, in spite of the activities of Rishabhadeva in his later life, still, when in his teachings, we'll see that he also emphasizes the process of bhakti. So like other kings, Nabi went to the forest, he took his vanaprastha, etc., went to the forest when he saw that Rishabhadeva was qualified to be the king. And we'll see that Rishabhadeva also does the same thing. He's married, he has a wife called Jayanti, and he has 100 sons. When he sees the sons are qualified, then he renounces again, and he goes to the forest also. And then there he sets an example of extreme austerity. So he's also following the particular rules of Varnashram life, where after ruling, then he retires and becomes a vanaprastha. But in his particular case, he showed extreme austerities and renunciation. So that was his particular purpose later on. And in spite of that, you see, in his teachings, he emphasizes bhakti. Well, as I said, different avatars teach different things. So Jnana is there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches Jnana, and Yoga also, but they're separate from bhakti. He teaches those things, but then he ultimately advises to do bhakti. So Vairagya, renunciation, Jnana, and Yoga, they're all mentioned in the scriptures, and some people follow those processes. Many sages do, but the recommendation of Krishna is follow the process of bhakti. But as I said, at particular times, different personalities will teach different things. They are processes mentioned in the scriptures, so the Lord comes and teaches those things. So he teaches Jnana, Adhyatma Jnana, in the form of Dattatreya and others. And he'll teach yoga also. Kapila teaches yoga also. Even Krishna teaches yoga to Uddhava. But ultimately, he concludes that better than all these is the process of bhakti.
But they also take acidity sometimes.
Hmm?
Not only rigams, they also take austerities and penances.
Austerities, well, depending on their position, of course, renunciation involves austerity, because it means detachment from everything material. So it must mean doing austerities of sorts, like restricting eating, restricting communications, etc., etc., etc. So all this is part of the renunciation. It's a matter of how far one wants to go. Rishabhadeva did it to an extreme level, where he simply wandered around in the forest and didn't look for food or anything, didn't speak to anybody.
Renunciation can be forced also to be renounced, but in natural renunciation and
well, it cannot be forced, because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if you restrict the senses, still the mind will think of things. So it has to be done if one is qualified. So generally one has to be sattvic to actually qualify for jnana, for yoga, for renunciation, etc. Someone in Rajagun or Tamagun definitely cannot do so. So one has to be qualified for that process.
Every act is said to be having three variations depending upon the gunas. Like the renunciation also has three types.
Well, yeah, one renounces the mode of passion, and in other words, we renounce temporarily because we have to get a material goal. So for material motives, we may do something for a short period of time. And so, yes, in the modes of ignorance and the mode of passion, there is renunciation, but it's not real renunciation. It has gross material motives behind it.
Krishna teach bhakti in Bhagavad Gita. You mentioned jnana.
Well, he mentions, like in chapter 2, he just says, you're not the body, you're the soul. You have to be detached from everything and tolerate the miseries of the material world, etc. So in chapter 2, he mentions jnana. And the later, last six chapters, again, there's a lot about jnana. But, as I said, the emphasis is mainly on bhakti. And the conclusion is bhakti in Bhagavad Gita. He mentions jnana, yoga, karma, all this is there. But ultimately, bhakti is the main process he recommends.
But yoga means to live with God.
Hmm? Well, I mean Ashtanga yoga in that sense. Ashtanga yoga, the process that mentioned in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita. So he doesn't, Arjuna says, too difficult for me to follow. Hmm. So Krishna also says, yes, superior to yoga is bhakti. Ashtanga yoga is bhakti. Bhakti yoga.
எல்லாம் டிஸ்ட்ரிபியூட் பண்ணனால உங்களுக்கு கிடைக்க மாட்டேங்குது.
ஆமா